E. Burnside Street in Portland. This is a 21 and over event. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBU Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Dundee Lodge Campout Volume 2, the Fringe Art and Music Festival on August 16th, 17th, and 18th at Dundee Lodge in Gaston, Oregon. Dundee Lodge Campout Volume 2 features art, unlimited camping spots, a full bar, food carts, a nearby lake, and performances by Marisa Anderson, Pink Reason, Amps for Christ, Lavender Flu, and many, many more. This is an all-ages event. Again, that's Dundee Lodge Campout Volume 2, the Fringe Art and Music Festival, August 16th, 17th, and 18th at Dundee Lodge, 50845 Southwest Dundee Road in Gaston, Oregon. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is The Struggle on KBU Community Radio 90.7 FM in Portland and wherever you're listening. Thank you for tuning in. This week I'm very, very lucky to be here with Effie Baum from Popular Mobilization, Pop Mob for short. And there's going to be a big rally tomorrow morning at the Portland waterfront, and it is, unfortunately, sorry to tell you, the fascists are coming back into Portland, and there's a lot of concerns about safety, but if you can, maybe you should come out and fight against them while you have a fighting chance. So, Effie, hi.
Hi.
For people who don't know the history of your organizing, can you just catch people up?
Sure. So Pop Mob came to be last year after the increased violence that we saw on June 30th. Several people from the left were hurt pretty badly. Some people ended up having to go to the hospital. And so Pop Mob was a group of concerned Portlanders who kind of came together after that. And we decided that we needed a popular mobilization in Portland. We needed a group that was going to kind of like really reach beyond just the same people that kept showing up, and that we needed to inspire larger numbers of people to show up, because the year prior, in June of 2017, following the murders on the Max train by Jeremy Christian, there was that big counter-protest to Joey Gibson's rally, and it was a huge showing from a wide variety of organizations. But after that, it dwindled. And even though they kept demonstrating in our city, less and less people were showing up. And the only people who were showing up were groups like our, like Rose City Antifa and other of the like more like community defense oriented organizations. And by June 30th, like, they got outnumbered and several of them got seriously hurt. And so we decided it was time for the city of Portland to have their back again and to start showing up in bigger numbers. And so we started organizing for the August 4th event last summer. And that was the first event that we did.
So for people who don't have a working memory of what happened on August 4th, the Patriot Prayer did a...
It was for Joey Gibson's failed Senate campaign, why a Washington representative was having a campaign rally in a state that he wasn't even running in is beyond me. Spoiler alert, it's an excuse and a lie. But that was the impetus for this rally. So it's also the... later, it was revealed that Joey Gibson had a close relationship with one of the Portland Police Bureau's officers and was texting back and forth planning for that event. And that event did culminate in a massive use of police force against the leftist and left side of the counter-protest, including nearly killing one of the demonstrators and permanently injuring and disfiguring a few others.
So this was also at the waterfront?
Yep.
And it was August 4th last year.
Yeah, so 2018.
Mm-hmm. And there were people who were on the sort of the west, no, the east side of NATO.
Yes, so the far right was on the Waterfront Park side.
And we were on the west side,
across, on the sidewalk,
across the street from NATO.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the standoff that they were looking for.
Yes, and the thing was, the police were doing a, like, what they said they were going to do was keeping the two sides separated. There was lines of, like, riot cops in the middle of NATO keeping the fascists safe and facing us with their intimidating military gear. And it was a complete stalemate. It was a total standoff. At one point earlier in the day, Joey Gibson was able to cross the police line without anybody stopping him and started engaging with some folks on the left, which turned into a shouting match, and somebody tried to grab his hat because that's a thing that occasionally happens. And then he just walked back across the street to his side and nobody stopped him from doing that. Either way. But then basically the two sides kind of walked up and down the waterfront and was pretty much at a stalemate until the police decided to launch their assault on the counter demonstrators completely unprovoked. And by attacking us, it then gave the far right side the opportunity to take the streets and go on their march, which they had been saying the entire time, like, their goal was to march and our goal was to prevent them from marching. And so that was where the stalemate kind of originated. And later, when those text messages came out, it was pretty clear that those plans had been set in place prior to that day.
So in response to that,
mm-hmm.
the strategy for Pop Mob has been to protest or to counter demonstrate using different tactics. Can you talk about some of those tactics?
Absolutely. So one of the things that Pop Mob set out to do, as I said a second ago, is that we really wanted to appeal to a broad, kind of diverse, big tent approach to anybody who stands against racism, who stands against fascism, who, you know, doesn't support, like, homophobia and transphobia and all of the xenophobia and is, like, supportive of, like, people who are immigrating to our country. Like, it doesn't matter where you are in the political spectrum. If you are against all of those things, you are on our side and you are under our tent. And so we wanted to really expand the idea of, like, what does it mean to be an anti-fascist? Because the way the media portrays it is so, like, putting this, like, Antifa boogeyman of, like, black bloc, and that's, like, the only thing that is an anti-fascist. And we believe in a diversity of tactics, which is that we all have the same goals. We all want the same, like, liberated world where everybody's free to be who they are and to love who they are.
And move
where they want to live and or just get rid of borders altogether. Like, if you are on that side, you're in our tent. And the only thing that we ask is that, like, we don't throw each other under the bus, because our petty, like, disagreements don't really matter when we have a huge, growing, far-right movement that would threaten all of our safety. And the safety of our most vulnerable people. And so we also really need the folks in our side that have privilege to be stepping up and doing their part to protect the people of their community, their neighbors, their coworkers, the people in their church congregation. Like, we all should be coming together to do this. And so we really wanted to create an organization that could facilitate that. And so a big part of, like, what I would say, like, August 4th was the first event we did, and we call it chaos organizing or sometimes Mad Lib organizing, because we don't get to pick the time or the place or, like, the situation. We just kind of have to, like, go by the seat of our pants the best we can in the situation.
Mad Libs as in the fill in the blank to finish the story, not yes. As in angry liberals.
Oh, yes. To be very clear. Yes. Like the children's, like, fun. Yes, exactly. Like, we only get, you know, we get a bunch of details given to us and we have to fill in the blanks. Exactly. And so thank you for that.
Well, we're showing our age a little bit, because yeah. I don't think Mad Libs are a thing for younger millennials and people younger.
Are they not? I could have sworn that my niece had them, but they might have been ones that were still sitting around my mom's house from when I was
a
kid.
I don't think the kids now know about Mad Libs.
Well, they're missing out, because that was fun.
So we should be teaching them about Mad Libs and anti-fascism.
And anti-fascism. Anti-fascist Mad Libs. Now, so that sounds like a tactic.
If there are any kids listening, what do you want the kids to know about anti-fascism? Make it plain.
So So basically, it's anybody who's I guess we could talk about what is fascism, because I think that that's actually one of the bigger issues. Yeah, it's a word that can mean a lot of different things and is used in a lot of different ways. And some folks think of that word and they immediately just associate it with like World War II and Mussolini, and like they're like, but you're calling these people fascist and they're clearly not fascist. And so the basic definition of fascism, if I'm going to put it in like the most plainest language, is a like authoritarian, and oftentimes it's governments, but not always, and in fact it can just be like a group of people that have an authoritarian like viewpoint, and there is some group of folks or multiple groups of folks that are seen as other, and then a sense of superiority of the in-group that is then used to oppress the out-group through authoritarian and different kinds of like oppressive and violent often ways. So that out-group can be based on race, it can be based on sexual orientation, gender identity, because we see fascist regimes, it's in countries where it's all folks of color. So it is not specifically a racist ideology, which is where I think some people get confused, because a lot of fascist ideologies do end up being like based on race, but white supremacy is its own evil, and a lot of fascism is closely entangled with white supremacy, but they're not the same thing. And right. So, yeah.
So, anti-fascism for kids would sound like...
we don't separate people based on their identities, that they can't, you know, the ways that they were born in terms of like who you want to love or what color your skin is or, you know, what body you were born in or what borders arbitrarily you were born within. And so, or what religion you want to practice. So all of these things that like make our world such an amazing and diverse place are actually what makes us stronger, not something we need to separate. And so we want a world where everybody gets to live without being afraid and oppressed, and they don't.
Great. Shout out to all the kids that listen to The Struggle. So I got a bunch of kids now who I know that I met through the No SROs, the school resource officers, cops in yes. public schools. So I met a bunch of kids who were doing incredible organizing to fight against this, and they listen to and share out the show. So shout out to all of y'all.
Yes.
And come back on the show. Let me know if you'd like to come on and give me an update about the organizing in preparation for the new school year. So thank you for talking about anti-fascism for our kids.
Yeah, and honestly, I think I say all of the time that Generation Z is going to save us all. Like, they're suing the government over environmental like collapse. They're organizing against cops in their schools. It's like, as much as like the internet brings a lot of ills, like it has created an entire generation of very self-aware and smart and politically astute youth.
So thank y'all for listening. Mm-hmm. It's all eyes on Portland right now.
Mm-hmm.
So please talk about the significance of what's going on here for people who may be listening in other places mm-hmm. who are getting some mixed coverage.
Yeah. So how far back should we go? So I think one thing, like, we could do an entire show on, and we don't need to go there, but I think a lot of folks view Portland as this bastion of liberalism and progressive politics, and they don't understand why this keeps happening here. And I think it's important for folks to know, if they don't already, that Oregon actually has an incredibly racist history going back before its founding as a state, and that over the years, that has not gone anywhere, and the Pacific Northwest is still a huge hotbed of like white ethnocentric activity, and they see the Pacific Northwest as the ideal white ethno state. So there is a huge amount of neo-Nazi, white supremacist, fascist organizing that happens here anyway. And then it was really active, and a lot of anti-fascist and like the anti-racist skinheads in the 80s did a really good job of chasing a lot of them underground.
Thank you all.
Thank you to all of the folks that organized, because it was a coalition of like over 30 organizations, so not terribly dissimilar from what we're doing now. And then now, with Trump's cult of personality in the lead up to the presidential campaign, a lot of these people slithered out of their holes and felt emboldened and started organizing again. And also, you know, having a president and or candidate that stood up there and like also awakened a whole bunch of disenfranchised people who are already suffering under patriarchy and suffering under white supremacy and suffering under like a capitalist system that makes them disenfranchised, and they're looking for answers and they're looking for somebody to blame, and it's just like matched to a powder keg, and it's a perfect recipe for creating hate groups. So it's unfortunate, and unfortunately Portland gets more than their fair share, and so this is not a new problem. It has been going on here for a very long time. This is just the most recent iteration.
So I asked that because, of course, I'm not from here. Are you from Portland?
I'm originally from Washington, but okay. I've been in Portland for almost all of my adulthood.
So I'm from New Jersey, and mm-hmm. people are asking me about this place. First of all, it's not Oregon. It's Oregon, which I have to make clear every time because, you know, my family's asking me questions.
Yes.
You're in Oregon? No, I'm in Oregon. Mm-hmm. And they're asking me about the whiteness.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people of color are just afraid of being around a lot of white people. And for any of my friends that have ever gone with me anywhere in the state, you know, I'm not getting out of the car when we go to a place on the side of the road. Mm-hmm. We might get followed. Mm-hmm. And the Klan or any of these groups may try to snatch me up. So I feel a little bit more safe in Portland because I have people around me who care about me and who don't think that I should be killed for being black and trans mm-hmm. or whatever else you want.
Right.
But I know that I'm not safe here. And it's because of the white supremacist activity that you're talking about, the very sick organizing that they're doing to mm-hmm. try to start their ethno state. Like, can you talk about what that even yeah. means?
So there's actually like some really great resources too if you actually want to look deeper into this. There's a podcast by Leah Sottile called Bundyville, where she actually talks about the whole Bundy occupation that happened in Nevada and the one that was in the Malheur National Refuge, and a lot of that militia movement is closely tied into this. There's like a big like Venn diagram overlap between the militias, the white supremacists, the like people who want to have like a secede and have a whites only state, and like religious, like really intense Christian religious fundamentalist groups. And in the second season of that show, she really tracks that line between all of them. It's terrifying, but it's also really good information, especially if you live in this part of the country.
Can you just repeat that for people who may yeah. not have?
It's called Bundyville. It's a podcast. You can get it on anywhere that you would get your podcast. It's put up by Goodreads in association with NPR and OPB, I believe. Don't quote me on that one, but it is Leah Sottile is the woman who does the investigation and the and narrates the podcast with a team of other folks, and it is riveting.
Wow. Okay. I'm on yeah. my list.
Yeah,
thank you very
really
much.
So she does a really good job of explaining where this stuff came from, and basically there are like separatists that live up in Washington and in Idaho and like parts of Oregon, and they like there's even a website for, I think they might call it Cascadia, where it talks about how they want these states to basically succeed and be one place that is a white only region.
So we don't want that.
Nope.
And so Pop Mob is organizing to mm-hmm. combat that, to
yes.
confront it, to mm-hmm. denounce it, and to make anti-fascism something that is something
everybody.
everyday
yep.
people
yep.
do. So we've got everyday anti-fascism
yes.
coming out of Pop Mob. Can you just talk about what is going on with that?
Yeah, so and that's a perfect segue. And the other thing I was going to talk about too, which is you said that you you see people here that have your back, and people talk a lot about like anti-fascists and how like there's a good way and a wrong way and to protest and to stand up against this stuff. And
watch that.
There's a lot of false equivalencies made between the left and the right in terms of like the violence and the hate, and it is definitely a false equivalency. And so Pop Mob, the whole idea of everyday anti-fascist is to try to create, to destigmatize that viewpoint of the people on the left, and that like if you are opposed to this stuff, you are an anti-fascist, whether you know it or not. So like your tea drinking grandmother is an anti-fascist. Like, you know, my friend who's a middle-aged school teacher is an anti-fascist. It's not just the stereotype that people paint it as. And everybody should be an anti-fascist. This should not be a controversial position, because if you're not an anti-fascist, you're a fascist. So,
or I like the term profa.
Profa, exactly. Oh, what has been really making me laugh is that the thing about, like, you know, we're referring to these groups as white supremacists. We're referring to them as the far right, the alt right. I try to avoid the word Nazis because it's so charged and so overused. But some of these people do belong to neo-Nazi groups. But that's a very specific subset as well. But there's a lot of different language used to describe the far right. And part of that is also their own tactics of rebranding themselves and reselling it to try to escape the negative connotations of who they associate with. And, you know, Patriot Prayer, Joey Gibson will be like, we're not a white supremacist organization. We're not, like, but then those people show up at his events. He's seen with them. They all associate with each other. And
post
so,
for pictures, smiling.
Yeah, uh-huh. Shaking hands. Yeah. And like the Hell Shaking Street Preachers is like one of the people that's part of that organization is a very out and well-known and outspoken white supremacist. And, you know, there's this like denial on their side. And one of the ways that they've been doing that, like their most recent rebranding, is that they are anti-Antifa, which is a double negative.
Do some math.
You take the anti. Oh, wait, you're just a fascist. So thank you for at least kind of spelling it out more clearly. But yeah, the anti-Antifa is the one that has just been like, it makes me chuckle, obviously, like in a dark way. But yeah, go ahead and just call yourself a fascist.
But it's good to be able to make it plain and to say what you just said. So thank you.
Yeah.
So what can people look forward to is the wrong phrase here, but what should people know about what Pop Mob is planning for the future?
Before I jump into the spectacle, one thing also I wanted to say about the everyday anti-fascism, because it's back to the piece about how you feel safer knowing that there are folks that do this work, is that I sat on a panel with another anti-fascist activist in town who also happens to be somebody who is like an immigrant and like a person of color and has like children, and was talking about how when his kids are watching television and they see like racists and white supremacists and far right folks marching in the streets of their city, he wants them to also see people standing up to them, because then they know that there are people in the city that will have their back. And when he said that in the panel, it just hit me right in my gut. And I have thought about it every day since then, because with all of these debates about the violence or like what's appropriate and what is community defense, and this like emphasis on nonviolence and this like tearing down of people because of the different tactics they employ, it's really important for me to talk about what is community defense and the false equivalency between people who would advocate for genocide and putting, you know, children in cages and the concentration camps on our border versus the people who stand up against that. And it is a false equivalency. It is not the same thing.
Thank you. Say it louder for the people in the back.
Right?
Very important. The both sides ism, right? Yes. At this point, I'm like,
it is.
It's becoming an ideology unto itself.
Mm-hmm.
That, no, I don't like this far right activity, the anti-immigrant stuff, the anti-gay, anti-black, fill in the blank stuff.
Yep.
But I also don't like that people come into the streets when they march. But if we didn't, what would you do?
Yeah.
And let them march.
Right.
That's the answer.
And then all of these children who are like black or brown or queer or trans or, you know, undocumented, whatever the situation is, then they're going to see that you allow this in their city and that nobody's going to protect them.
And as a person of color or a child of color who was trans and feeling very unsafe, that little bit of just knowing that some adult somewhere is affirming you, whether or not you feel the affirmation from your peers, your teachers, your parents even, right? Shout out to any trans kid that's listening. I am sorry if you don't have the support system that you need. But please just know that there are a lot of people who affirm you, who know that there's nothing wrong with you, and who are out here trying to counter demonstrate against people who would see you dead.
Yeah. Like, that is the thing that I think that a lot of people who have privilege don't understand. And saying things about specific tactics, or if you just ignore it, it will go away, which is, like, the one thing that is one of the arguments that just gets me the most fired up, is because it comes from such a position of privilege. Because if you have the capacity to ignore it, then you are already embodying a lot of privilege, because the majority of us can't ignore it because it's our everyday life. So a lot of us, like... That's the other thing about the stereotype that really gets me, is people think that it's a bunch of, like, 17-year-old angry white boys out there. And it's actually a majority of, like, queer folks, folks of color, and women and non-binary people and trans people that are doing this.
Pop Mob is very queer.
Yeah, we are almost all queer and or trans.
So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Yeah. So, yeah, and for some reason there was a misnomer going around, like, when we first started organizing, that it was all men, and that was never actually the case. So I'm glad that that, like, has been corrected in the last year. And that's the thing, is, like, we are the ones doing this work because we're directly affected, which is why we are really calling on the people who say things like, if you just ignore it, it will go away, which is completely false, that, like, if you have the privilege to ignore it, then you really need to be the person who's standing up.
So every... Pop Mob demonstration has been very ostentatious, mm-hmm. colorful,
yes.
loud, fun.
Yes.
Can you talk about yes. that tactic?
Totally. So our whole big tent approach was, then we want to, like, we're not going to win allies and get people on our side by criticizing them, right? And I was just criticizing them. And so instead of just shaking our finger and saying, you should be doing this, we create a place where they can plug in and feel engaged. We want to create events where everybody can feel like they are a part of it, where there is a spot for everyone. So if you're not called to be somebody who's on the front lines, that is totally fine, because we need everybody on board. So we want to create a big, whimsical, fun, and joyous resistance.
And a party. So come party.
That people can plug into in any way that feels the most comfortable to them. So for spectacle, it's twofold. We want to create that environment so that folks can feel called and can engage. And then the other part is incredibly strategic and tactical, in that one of the main things that the right loves to do, and also one of their most effective recruitment tactics, is filming these interactions and selectively editing them and then putting them on the internet to bring more people to their cause.
To pwn the libs.
And to, exactly, turn people against the left, which that's the other reason we really want people to come out, because a lot of people are getting their information from not entirely reliable sources. And if they come out and they join us, that they'll be able to see things with their own eyes, experience things firsthand, and start to see the way things actually are. But the other reason that we wanted to do spectacle, why we're calling it spectacle, why we're encouraging people to show up in poop emoji costumes, a brass band full of banana costumes, and, you know, jugglers and mimes and the
drag
Kiki
queens.
Ball and exactly House of Flora. We're
all
so
drag
excited.
Queens come out, please.
Yes, and all of this, we want it to be the most, like, absurd spectacle. We want it to be like a circus and a carnival and a dance party and a noise demonstration and just culture jam. That ability of them to make their toxic masculinity riot porn. We don't want them to be able to, like, make their recruitment videos where they all try to position themselves like these tough, like, macho men in their military cosplay gear. We want it to be completely photobombed by a banana with a tuba, by somebody in a poop emoji costume, by whatever kind of, like, amazing, fabulous spectacle we can.
Fabulous. So that's what's going to be happening tomorrow,
yes.
on the waterfront at 10 o'clock. Take us.
Well, we are actually starting earlier than 10 o'clock. The very, very
oh,
first
I'm
thing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be the religious. I
yes.
forgot to bring this in. Please talk
yeah.
about the religious community and people who want to bring spirituality into this, helping to
yes.
ground us before we begin. Thank you.
Absolutely. And that's also a big part of, like, our big tent, right? Is we really want to include as many people as possible in all of the different ways they can engage. And so we have partnered with different faith organizations. And so the Buddhist Peace Fellowship is actually going to be starting the day off at 9:30 with a meditation that will be followed by an interfaith Shabbat led by one of our local rabbis. And then following that will be the start of the spectacle, and there'll be possibly some speakers and some of the performances, and things will kind of start kicking off. And things are going to be happening in kind of a, like, not necessarily a standard fashion where there's like a order of events following the two religious services, things are going to be kind of like popping off here and there throughout the day.
Because so much of this, sadly, is a response.
Correct.
So that's where the Mad Libs come in.
Yes.
So just so that people who are listening now, who are thinking about coming tomorrow, who want to know why there's not a more clear sort of run of show, mm-hmm. can you talk about the flexibility that's needed?
Mm-hmm. Well, we talk a lot about how we're opposing the right, but we're not talking about the other person and what we sometimes refer to, well, other party, and what we sometimes refer to as a three-way fight, and that's the state. And so state repression of speech is a very real thing. And right now, the city is doing its damnedest to deter people from showing up tomorrow by all of this scary rhetoric about how dangerous it's going to be and how they're bringing all of these cops and federal officers and, you know, Chief Outlaw even hinted at the National Guard, which hopefully and thankfully Kate Brown would never authorize. But it's also a really, really low tactic because that really smacks of the Kent State massacre. And so it just brings up this other like violent specter. And it is an effective way to get people to not show up. And so what I would say to that is that sometimes counter-protests are scary and things happen. And we do have to be aware of our surroundings and also recognize that the state is doing its best to repress you in every way that it can. And one of the ways it's going to do that is by scaring you into not showing up at all. And the other thing is that there is a risk that, like, they will be the ones inflicting violence. And they also want to do everything they can to interrupt what we're doing. So we don't know if we're going to show up and they're going to have parts of the park locked off. We may have to make spur-of-the-moment decisions about where things go and where things happen. So you can follow us on all of our social media to get up-to-the-minute updates on Twitter, on Facebook, and on Instagram at PopMobPDX. That's PopMobPDX at all of the social media platforms. And we will be posting if there's any like last-minute changes or also like what's coming up next. And what I would also say is like, even though it's scary and I know a lot of people are afraid, we're all afraid too. And I like can't stay home because I'm the kind of person that like if I'm not doing something that's way more anxiety inducing than being on the like than being like at home and so or than being on the front lines rather and I know for some people that's not the case, but I have some other options for you which I'll talk about in a minute. But for those that can come out, it's a lot scarier to let these groups continue to grow unopposed, and we will be a lot less safe if that continues to happen, and the only way we're going to oppose them is with mass, like raising the cost of participation by showing up and outnumbering them.
Why is that the case? How do you know that if you don't oppose them, they will grow and do more harm? Can you say how you know?
Sure. I've got a couple things. So like we know by example that like in Boston, when the white supremacists tried to have a rally following Unite the Right in Charlottesville, 40,000 Bostonians showed up, and they have not tried to organize then in the city since then. So we know that it's
thank
effective.
Thank you, Boston.
Yeah, thank you, Boston. And the same thing happened in Berkeley. So we
thank
know
you, Berkeley.
That it is an effective tactic in shutting them down, right? Deplatforming them and like raising the cost of participation is in like they're getting outed. You know, the people who like put their like names and where they work online, that's another important part of anti-fascism that's not street work, but that raises that cost of participation of being involved in these hate groups. And so
how do people do that?
Yeah.
So how would someone get involved if they can't
yes.
do frontline stuff?
Yeah. So the ways that like you can get involved is doing things like 99% of anti-fascist work does not happen in the streets. It happens through doing research and posting information on where these people work, where they organize, and like outing their associations and outing who they are, because, you know, they only are able to grow by having, you know, kind of their own secret, like, little cabals, but also like shining a light on the dark things that they're doing and really bringing it out so that folks know what's happening. And the way that, like, if we don't show up and oppose them, that also gives them the opportunity to, like, be surrounded by only other people who validate their viewpoints. And so they get to think that there are more people out there that believe what they believe than there actually are. So when we all show up, we show them that their viewpoints are not what is popularly held, and that they are, like, the outliers. People don't want what they're selling, and the only way that they're going to know that is if we all show them that.
Great. So the consequence of that, or what comes out of that, rather, which is very important. You've already touched on this before, but hey, in case you're just tuning in, I'm talking to Effie Baum from PopMob, Popular Mobilization, and we are discussing tomorrow morning at the Portland Waterfront. And what is the intersecting street that you want people to come in on,
yes,
by the way? Before
So we've been saying Pine and the Waterfront, which is between, like, about halfway between the Morrison and the Burnside Bridge, and kind of near where that battleship, like, ferry memorial or museum thing is. Sorry, not very eloquent about that one. But Pine and the Waterfront is, like, the best thing. And hopefully you'll show up and see a whole lot of people in crazy costumes and you'll know where the party is. But that's where we are going to be starting.
So just what I wanted to reiterate is the importance of people showing up is because when the story is written, mm-hmm, the media is coming. So mm-hmm, the right makes sure that they make a spectacle of themselves.
Yeah.
You talked about the kind of, like, paramilitary fantasy that they have, mm-hmm, that the entire idea of them sort of storming into,
yeah,
you know, gay Portland, mm-hmm, you know, multicultural Portland, liberal, whatever you want, right?
Yeah.
Cosmopolitan Portland, you know, that they want to come in and through force or a show of force, wear their military gear, open carry,
mm-hmm, cleanse the streets,
the yeah, whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a spectacle.
Mm-hmm.
The media will be there, mm-hmm, and they will write about it and show it.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is no answer, we cannot simply assume that people are unhappy,
mm-hmm,
with that.
Yep.
That they're just ignoring them and hoping they will go away. So if you follow that line,
mm-hmm,
then what that means is they will be out in the streets marching unopposed,
right,
then. And then when the story is written, the story will say that they marched unopposed.
And nobody stood up.
And there was no response.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So if there's no response, that will be part of the story.
Yeah, and the other thing is that if nobody is there to counter them, they will go looking for targets. They are looking for a conflict. They're looking for a fight. And if there's nobody there to stand up to them, they will find it. We saw this at May Day when nobody showed up to their ragtag, sad little attempt at a rally downtown. They came across town and looked for the fight and found it at Cider Riot, where they attacked a bunch of people who were drinking beer and having tacos after the, like, May Day rally that was like a picnic in the park. So if they're not given, like, if they don't have a target, they'll find one. And if nobody stands up against them, they're going to find somebody.
Like at a mosque or a gay, mm-hmm, bar,
exactly,
somewhere like that.
Yeah, or random, like, teenagers in the streets, which they've also done.
That
or,
look,
like,
queer, that
queer
look
person
brown.
Walking on the street, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we've seen it already. They've,
yes,
already done it.
Multiple times.
So I'm concerned with some of the dissonance where,
mm-hmm,
people don't make that connection, where on the one hand, people who don't want to do the confrontation,
mm-hmm,
will say, well, we just want to ignore them. And then I'm assuming you've read the articles or have,
mm-hmm,
seen the news that they are going to mosques,
mm-hmm,
to gay bars,
to, like,
Walmarts with a lot of Mexican people.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's where they're going.
Mm-hmm.
So you must know that, mm-hmm, that is the other side of your argument, but here we are.
Mm-hmm.
So PopMob is doing an excellent job of making anti-fascist action and demonstrating geared toward the masses.
Yes. We want to encourage everybody to have a way to get involved. And so I also want to be intersectional in our approach. And I know that not everybody can come out and stand in the streets for a variety of reasons. Like, it's incredibly ableist to say everybody should come out because there are people who for incredibly valid reasons can't. So one of the other things that we do is try to provide opportunities for people to get engaged even when they can't show up. So another thing that we're doing is there is a fundraiser that has been organized through the Pacific Northwest United Against Hate, approached us to help them. And so we're doing it in partnership where you can pledge money. A dollar is the like suggestion, but you can do less or more depending on your ability, for every fascist that shows up. And after the event, we will have counted all of them that show up. And for all of the pledges for every fascist that shows up, that money is going to be donated to CAUSA, which is a local immigrant rights and advocacy organization that works with Latino immigrants specifically. And so it's also a way that the fascists know that every single one of them showing up is helping a local immigrant organization. So there's a little bit of a snarky, like, satisfying twist on that, too. And hopefully it will stop some of them from showing up because they don't want to. And again, raising that cost of participation through a diversity of tactics. So if you are somebody who can't go and still want to do your part and want to be involved, you can participate in that fundraiser. You can find the links for it on our Facebook and on our Twitter and on our, we do have a website, which is popmobpdx.com. And then you can pledge an amount and that'll go to CAUSA. The first $500 is going to be matched by a very generous donation. So you can double your money and the first $500. So that's also great. And all of the money goes to CAUSA. So it's like everybody wins.
Shout out to CAUSA, immigrant justice.
Yes.
Actually making America great.
Yes.
Supporting immigrants will make America great.
Absolutely.
So for people who are still on the fence about, okay, I do want to support and I've got some fear, I want people to know that it is okay that you're afraid. This is scary.
Yes.
So it's not that the fun and the colors of Pop Mob is meant to lull you into thinking you're safe.
Right.
Rather, it's to present our side as not just a bunch of crotchety Marxists, you know?
So, although some of them are there too.
I love y'all, you know? I'll be at the reading group tomorrow, you know? Like, I'm fine with that, but that's not all we are.
Right, and I think that like what you're saying is also a really good point because there has been some criticism that we've gotten online because, you know, people will see one post we make and they don't know the whole story, and so they'll be like, you are encouraging people to come out to this thing by making it sound like a pride parade, and it's really dangerous and they could get hurt, and it's up to you to make sure that people know that. And like
people get hurt at pride parades.
And that point was made.
Great.
Actually, but then, you know, the way the internet is, it turns into a toxic place sometimes. But the point is that like we actually we have been posting safety tips and we will continue to post safety tips and know your rights information because arrest is always a risk at these things whether you're doing something or not because the police don't discriminate when it comes to who they arrest. Well, I mean they do discriminate when it comes to who they arrest in certain situations, but they will just grab people even when they're not actually doing anything illegal. So so we have Know Your Rights information. There will also be legal observers there that will have Know Your Rights information tomorrow morning. And then also safety at protests and self-awareness and preparation is also really important. So bring a buddy. Don't go alone.
Not go alone.
Protest 101.
And definitely don't leave alone.
Bring a buddy. Don't leave alone. Don't go or don't come alone. Find people to meet up with, meet up somewhere off site and come together. Have a regroup place in case you get separated that you set ahead of time. Hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. Last year, August, it was hot and people didn't bring enough water. Bring more water than you think you're going to need. We will have water. We will also have Otter Pops that people will be passing around.
And there snacks
will,
too.
Yes, and
shout
the
out snack block
is going to be there. We're going to be providing a bunch of snacks. There will be a hydration station where you can come and get water. While at last, people have donated water. That's another way that people got involved that couldn't be there. We had folks that were like, I can't come because I have my kids, so I want to donate water. But make sure you bring water. And there will be snacks, but it's also good to have a little bit of protein bar snack stuff on yourself, too, just in case blood sugar gets low. And then, you know, just really take care of yourself and be really aware of your surroundings.
There's also, thank you for talking about the National Lawyers Guild, mm-hmm. who's going to be there to help people get through, right? Because mm-hmm. they're there to monitor police activity.
Correct.
So bring a Sharpie marker, right? And put that yeah. in, you know, if you're making your suitcase here, so that you can write down the number so that if you do get kettled mm-hmm. by the police and they arrest a group of people or you're targeted or whatever it is, the police can do whatever they'd like to you. Mm-hmm. Know that that number that the National Lawyers Guild gives is for you to call mm-hmm. so that you can pursue justice and not get caught up in the system, because National Lawyers Guild, they know how mm-hmm. to protect people who are demonstrating against the far right.
Yep. There's also folks that do legal support for people that do get arrested and end up having to go through the system that help through every step of the way. So like I said, anti-fascist work doesn't only happen in the streets. So there's a lot of people that do legal support work. And that's actually another way you can get involved, is there's a legal defense fund that is set up. You can find the link for it on Rose City Antifa's Facebook page. And it's money that will go to help legal costs for anybody who's arrested, as well as medical costs for anybody who's injured.
Beautiful. So I also just want to quickly let people know who are maybe not available tomorrow, but mm-hmm. this is all appealing to them and they do want to stay plugged in. So again, if you can just say how people can get in touch with you.
Sure. You can find us anywhere on the internet at PopMobPDX. So any social media, that's our handle. It's also our email address and our website. So it's popmobpdx@gmail.com. Popmobpdx.com is our website, and then anywhere on social media.
And generally, so if tomorrow's not good for you, but you do want to get more involved and you want to know mm-hmm. when more things are happening and you just want to be on the right side of history, you want to be on the side of justice, yeah. follow and Portland Jobs with Justice, mm-hmm. Of which I'm the co-chair. So, yes, I'm a little biased here. We have a solidarity calendar that you can go to jwjpdx.org, and just about every day, every month, there's something on our calendar that we are turning people out for. So if you have some time and you want to get involved and active and you want to turn out for other people who are in this work, that is a great way to be able to plug in if tomorrow you don't have the time or you're not going to be in town.
Yeah, they were a great partner for this too. We did phone banking. I did phone banking with them yesterday. We called a whole bunch of their supporters to be able to come out on tomorrow. And so it was, they're really, really glad that they're part of the coalition.
Great. And just so people know, Portland Jobs with Justice is an organization that brings together local labor unions, progressive organizations, churches, community groups to help people to build power and to simply show up for one another. The Jobs with Justice pledge is very simple. It just says show up at least 5 times a year for someone else taking up a part of the larger struggle for justice. And it really is that simple. Just show up for other people and we can really build. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that I've been able to do that with PopMob. Is there something else that you want people to know about your organizing, some of the politics underlying it, some of the consequences that we should be aware of?
I think we've covered a lot of it. I would just say that if anybody still has any remaining concerns, if they want to reach out directly to us, we can answer questions and to the best of our ability. We're a little swamped getting ready, but we have been trying to answer messages that get sent to us and posts on our page with people who do have any remaining concerns. And then also if people are wanting to get involved in this kind of organizing work, follow our pages. We do put out calls for people to volunteer and help us, and that's a good entry way into getting involved in organizing if that's something you're interested in as well.
Excellent. Okay. Effie, this is excellent. Thank you for spending time with me.
Thank you for having me.
For all of my listeners, I hope that I see you all tomorrow. Holler at me if this show got you there so mm-hmm. I can know that I'm on the right track, bringing in my friends who are organizing and giving them a platform for an hour. This is Alyssa Pariah, your friendly neighborhood agitator. This is The Struggle on KBOO Community Radio, 90.7 FM. Thank you all for listening. Good luck, and I'll talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.
No unity, no power. White Power for White People, Black Power for Black People, 1967, the Black Panther Party, the movement,
freedom.
Let's talk about freedom. Freedom, freedom.
We will not bow down to racism.
We will not bow down to injustice. We will not bow down to exploitation. I'm gonna stand. I'm gonna stand.
Now this is time for free your mind and your soul. Yo, I'm the story I've never been told. Ladies, you got to demand what you want, and what we want is respect, right?
Come and take a walk with me. Cross a walk with me. See what only I can see.
Sisters, check this. Watch this.
Freedom.
And none of that okay sugar, as long as you play the background, getting my beer and rubbing my feet. But either. You dig?
No, this is time for putting your mind on your soul. Yo, off the story has never been told. Ladies, you got to demand what you want, and what you want is respect, right? Yo, just sit up on the track, and this is what the deal with it, right? Freedom every time for the sisters. Check this. Watch this.
And here we go now. Listen, if I'm boom boom rule, I be the ruler like Slick Rick. Hit with this quick witted Adidas wearing shit. Papa got a brand new bag. Mama got a brand new Jagger. Go tag. I ain't no old hag. I represent not only in the kitchen, in the bedroom, but also in the boardroom. So give me more room. Deny my opportunity. You in jeopardy. Yo, yo, set me free. Don't hinder me. Let me be.
I'm fighting for freedom. I got the heat in case you need them. A straight soldier. Ain't nobody told ya. Hold up on them lies. I know your games and your plans. Do whatever you can to oppress the man. But when it's time to drop the bar, bring the funk in the stone. You say you never met a sister so strong. You're wrong now. How can we be free? It takes you and it takes me to blend together in harmony and peace and love and all of the above. Sisters coming together representing one love. No disrespect, but we gotta get it together. No matter what the weather, sisters gotta stick together. And sisters be strong. Don't let them steer you wrong. Hold on. Cause sisters got it going on.
To make a stand, but now I'm standing. We've gotten more demands, and they never thought and planning that a wish for us to sit would be a dose. This roller coaster, whether tradition or religion, why you question my decision? Why you spend up all your time trying to get into my mind? Why everybody and they mama got to add to all my drama? Mad drama, hell, if I'ma keep my dominating feministic hell, creating crazy, sexy, cool black in the palms of your player hater stands. My only chance of being free is to fly within me, and it's illegal to kill a bird is never more important than my people. I guess we didn't need him, so I took away his freedom.
Cause free your mind and your soul. Don't make no guys come take control. Cause you're young and you play the role. And I'm that story has never been told.
My spiritual awareness leads me to believe that your doubt in the sisters could come with the peace. We've been together since Jack created border. The African border celebration is in order. Pop the cork. And give champagne to the stork that brought the light to my mama in New York. African, I come again and again. You kick me down, I get back up. I'm coming back in multiples of ten.
You know where I come from. Sprung from the belly of the beast. Used to speak African tongue, so I showed her. Next one bolder. Sprung the devil over my shoulder. I'm getting over, cause I'm bolder than the next. I'm in Lebanon, cause I speak the real truth from the text. Who's next to flex with this S-I-S-T-E-R? The sun, the moon, the crescent, the star. Wanna see how open you are.
Bring your mind on your soul. Don't make no dice come take control. Because you're young and I look like a roll. But right, I know you are gonna let them know.
Come and take a walk with me. Closer walk with these. See what only I can see. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. So it's back to the womb of everlasting life and truth. Let the heaven of a system embrace you. Embrace the mother. Coming to the light, let it shine. Blackness is fine. Blackness of your skin, the blackness of your mind.
I am, and that's who I be. And I don't give a damn if your eyes can't see. If you can't see what I can see, that you're blind, baby. I'm a woman who's black, so back up, cause it's on. I'ma tell you strong what's wrong with the world that we're living on. It ain't who you know, it ain't what you drive. It's about how you feel about yourself on the inside. Self-esteem is low, and they call you a hoe, then you think you's a hoe, but that ain't what the Lord God made you to be. I need you to see, you're black and you're free.
Bring your mind and your soul, I mean no dice come take control, because you're young and I you play the role.
Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Phantasm, a dark dance night on Saturday, August 17th at 10 p.m. at the High Water Mark in Portland. Phantasm is Portland's newest dark dance night featuring goth, industrial, dark wave, dark synth, future pop, agrotech, EBM, and more, hosted by Victor Nova and Ophelia Darkley. This month, it also features DJ Novatron and DJ Barbie Saint. Again, that's Phantasm, a dark dance night on Saturday, August 17th at 10 p.m. at the High Watermark, 6800 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland. This is a 21 and over event. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Montevilla Jazz Festival on Saturday, August 17th and Sunday, August 18th at Portland Metro Arts in Portland. The Montevilla Jazz Festival features performances by Brian Smith, Dana Reason, Mel Brown and Gordon Lee, and many more. Again, that's the Montevilla Jazz Festival on Saturday, August 17th and Sunday, August 18th at Portland Metro Arts, 9003 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. KBOO will be broadcasting live from the festival on Saturday from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hello, I'm Eugene Rashad. Join me every Saturday from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. for the best in jazz on your community radio station, KBOO 90.7 on your FM dial.
But I dig, and I know you dig, because I got 4 requests for this thing already today. Strutting right with it.
That was KBOO volunteer disc jockey George Page. Page has been playing jazz and popular black music on KBOO for the past 12 years.
What I do to the audience I draw, hopefully, is to please them with all types of black music. Mostly what you can't hear as a rule on larger black-oriented stations in L.A. or San Francisco. I play a lot of blues and a lot of jazz. All of it's black-oriented, but it's not the cuts you're going to hear on the other jazz shows. It's not the cuts you're going to hear on other stations, because other stations just don't play jazz and blues in a black vein the way I do here.
Join me every first and third Friday from 8 p.m. until 10 p.m. From the grassroots, where we agitate for social change with music and political commentary. We will ease your troubled mind with licensed mental health counselor Cheryl Jefferson, political analysis provided by the Prophet of Rage, and calling in from the planet of rhythm and blues, musicologist Professor Soul. From the grassroots, I'm your host, Lanita Duke, on 90.7 FM, KBOO in Portland. Good evening, and welcome to another edition.